You this morning. We love this old-time religion. Amen. Because it's good enough for us. It doesn't mean it's always sweet. Amen. Sometimes it hurts a little bit, but there's no correction in every correction gives a little, you know, pain, but that's the way to perfection. Amen. That's why we come. Even though the gospel sometimes may hit us a little bit, but there's so much happiness in the gospel. And that's why we love it. Amen. We thank the Lord for that. So we have our Sunday school this morning. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you this morning for granting us another privilege to come once again, to meet you, to meet with one another, to fellowship around your word, O Lord. You have granted us a blessed week when we can see Friday we were here, we are blessed by the word, O Lord. We have addressed you our request, and we can see you granting us the desire of our hearts, O Lord. We have seen you along the week blessing us with all kinds of blessings, O Lord, in the heavenly places. And we believe, Heavenly Father, that as long as we have you as our Lord, we'll never lack, O Lord. As the psalmist said one day, the Lord is my shepherd. I'll never want, O Lord. You know our needs, you know our hearts, and the deepest desire of our hearts, you know it, O Lord. Grant us according to our need and according to your will, O Lord. Bless us as we are gathered this morning. Bless your children who are still on the way coming. Grant them traveling mercies. Be with us along this service. In Jesus' name, amen. So we will continue on our subject, earnestly contending for the faith. Let's open chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Verse 4, for there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, and godly men turning the grace of God, of our God, into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. You may be seated. God bless you. So last week, we were seeing just this principle of contending for the faith. And I think next week we'll be able to close the topic with few practical examples. But for now, we just want to say a bit more on what we said last week. So we saw that this apostle Jude was exhorting the saints of that those days, which is still applicable to us today, that we should contend for the faith. And we saw that the word used here, contend, was used in the same way that they use for wrestling. You know, you have to fight in order to throw your opponent down and to avoid to be thrown down. So that's the, you know, the mindset we should have when we are defending the word. When we are standing for the gospel, we should have a militant attitude, a combatant attitude. That's the exact meaning of this word, contending. Contention. It's about an aggressive attitude. Try at your best, to knock them down and stand for the gospel. Because we know that what the gospel claims is truth. Amen. What the claim of the gospel is the truth, that we are saved by the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, and that he was resurrected from the dead, and that he ascended in heaven, that salvation is through that blood. The claim of the gospel is true. But you see, Jude was saying here that there were brethren that was coming now to try and topple the people down from the foundation of their faith, denying the Godhead of Jesus Christ, denying every principle on which we stand for. My brother, my sister, we should have that militant, combatant attitude to be ready to wrestle for our faith. Amen. Amen. That's why, just quickly going on what we saw last week, Peter used another exhortation in 3:15, 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So be ready to defend what you believe. It shouldn't just be because in our church we don't wear makeup, but be ready to defend it. Be ready to wrestle for it, to show that it's a matter of life and death. Why don't you drink? Oh, no, because of my health. No, it's not because of your health. You just want to be seen as, you know, the Irish, they like drinking. So if I don't drink, it's just, no, my stomach is not. No. I don't drink because I'm a Christian. But where does it? And be ready to defend it, to contend it. That's what. Be ready to give an answer. And this word used here, apologia, it was the same word that was used in court of law when a lawyer is making a case. defending his client, or someone claiming his innocence or his righteousness. That's in the same position that a lawyer will fight a case in a court of law. That the same way, that the word that was used for be ready to give an answer. So today we are going to see how Paul took this recommendation in his own life. Because we know Paul was a real Christian apologetic. He was ready to defend his position. Even when he was in chains, even after being scourged, even when he was hungry, in any condition, Paul was ready. And Paul was not waiting for people to say, you know, we see like as if. No, Paul was making himself known. Paul was making his position clear everywhere he goes. He was not expecting people to discover him. He was actually provoking people. Yeah. Amen. Acts 17, from verse 1. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, notice that, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures. That was his manner. Wherever he goes, you know, they speak politics, they speak music, he just kick a discussion about reasoning with them on the word. The Bible doesn't say just, well, sometimes we say, you know, we are Christians, we are peaceful people, we should be. No. Paul was there, he provoked them. And he started reasoning with them. Because remember, this place, Thessalonica and all that area, it was ancient Greece. It was a high place of reasoning. It was high place of philosophers and thinkers, and people were there just to discuss. Any topic that comes up, they go. And Paul, being in their midst, he said, okay, I'm going to play the same game. He provoked them and went into reasoning with them 3 Sabbaths in a row. And it provoked, the Bible says, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. You see Paul's attitude. He was going out there provoking discussion, reasoning with people, standing for the faith, contending for the faith. The word used here as opening, in other traduction, it says explaining. And the word alleging, other tradition says proving, demonstrating, giving evidence. You know, he was there just go and explaining to people, talking about the gospel. Amen. 3 Sabbaths in a row, he said that there's a synagogue. I will go there and speak. It was so evident that they couldn't stand against him. He was so strong in his argumentation that the only way they could do with him was to provoke a riot. Because in discussion, they couldn't reason him wrong. But the only way they found themselves, they were so stuck in a corner that they say, we need just to kick this man out of the town. They provoke a riot and they had to make him, escape nightly because people were looking for his life now. Next, verse 10. After he escaped, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. After all the provocation, after all the troubles it created in Thessalonica, someone would expect that Paul should go underground. because I've just made a big issues there. People are not happy. And they made him to escape nightly. He went there, he should have rested, but he said, no. The same day he arrived, went to the synagogue. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scripture daily whether those things were so. When the time was favorable, he preached the gospel. And people were ready to receive, they received. He reasoned with them. He showed them that Jesus was raised from the dead and salvation is through the blood. And he spoke and people got saved. They received the gospel. The other guys from Thessalonica, when they heard that he's being successful there, they came again and started making issues again. Verse 15, and they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed, they departed. Now when he arrived in Athens, we are expecting him to take a low profile now. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. That's the attitude. Someone want to contend for the faith. He saw that something is wrong here. He was, rounding the city and looking here, and he saw that people were just in idolatry. And these old Greek cities, it was not only, they had gods for everything. They had gods for everything. It was immorality. It was child sacrifice. It was so many bad things happening. He said, I can't just stay silent. I need to do something here. Therefore, he disputed in the synagogue. You see the word they use here. His soul was so stirred in him that he said, no, I need to go and challenge these people. He disputed in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons and in the market daily with them that met with him. So he was in the streets there trying to show people that what you are doing is wrong. This is the gospel. Of course, we are not sending you. You need just to use, we'll see it there as we go down. We just need to use some wisdom. You can't just go and see someone drinking his beer and say, oh, this is not, you go to hell because of that. You just need to be wise. One trying to stand for the gospel. One trying to contend. Because if you don't take the correct attitude, everything must be done with love. Yeah, amen. Even preaching the gospel to someone, even trying to testify to someone, it must be done in love. And when it is done in love, you'll find the right attitude to approach someone. But even if someone is doing something wrong, but if you don't approach it, because if there's no love, you come with condemnation. Say, so you are wearing and this and that, tight dress and that. Sometimes when it's not said correctly, you're going to kick the person more away from the gospel. Amen. That's why sometimes even a minister, you must be wise, the way you present the gospel, the way you present the truth. Because the souls of the people are in different stages, Someone you can just go and say, brother, what you did is wrong, and they say, thank you, brother, because he's more mature in the world. But another one, you just go and say, listen, what you've done, the same approach will kill him. Amen. So that's why Jesus told Peter, feed my sheeps, feed my lambs. Amen. There are sheeps, there are lambs. So we just need to be more balanced, Amen. He disputed in the synagogues. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics, these are strong people. If you go and study the Epicureans, those philosophers, philosophers, they were good thinkers, you know, because Epicureanism was based on pleasure. Amen. They didn't believe in suffering. They didn't believe that people, you know, they were the high class in society. So life must be about pleasure, about enjoyment, about comfort. But we see some guy who come and tell us that a guy was crucified and the salvation is crucifixion. How can, you know, from suffering, from such hard pain like crucifixion, comes life? We are Epicureans. We believe in pleasure. We believe that there's fulfillment in comfort. But him is taking us, bringing us a gospel, some news that tells that we should suffer and we should make sacrifice. Let's call that guy and come to explain to us. So when sometimes, that's why we are talking about equipping yourself. My brother, if you are, you know, talking with someone who in an area where you are not well equipped, better retract. It's just tactic. It's just tactic. If you are not equipped to, you know, to testify to some category of people, you know, those philosophers and thinkers, they can reason you out of the world. Amen. That's why it's always good. That's why Jesus was sending them in twos. One and another. So you can complement one another. We are a body. If you find that this is, there's no wrong in saying, this one, I can't explain it now. I'm going to ask my pastor. I'm going to ask brother so-and-so, brother Tony, or brother whoever it is. Amen? Amen. Because sometimes you find people, the Epicureans there, their job was to discuss. That was their profession. They wake up in the morning, they eat their breakfast, dress, and go to the arena. Sit there and looking for issues. Oh, there's a guy there who's talking, bring him here, bring him here. Amen. That was their job. Discussion, arguing. They'll spend the whole day there. Sometimes they won't eat. And they were very good thinkers. They are, you know, theories are taught until today in universities. Epicureans, Stoics, and all those guys. They say, bring him that guy. But you see what approach Paul took. When he was talking with the Jews, he reasoned with them. Read the early verses in this chapter at the beginning. He reasoned on the scriptures. But when he went to speak to the philosophers in Greece, in Athens, he didn't bring the scripture. He didn't bring the books. He went and studied their philosophy. Yeah. Amen. The time he was in the city, he was studying them. He was exploring the city. He saw that there was a statue of such God here. There was such philosophers here. There were such poets here. He knew their mindsets. He knew their way of thinking. And he came to speak to them not as just a novice. He searched the people he wanted to talk to. Amen. Amen. And he came, he didn't open. Sometimes you go and say, you know, I believe this by faith. Those guys, they don't have, your faith is for you.
Yes.
Amen. Some people, their faith is for you. Why do you do that? No, because it is by faith. No. A woman must be, you know, must be submitted to her husband. They say, no. This is the age of equality. Mm-hmm. Don't bring me the Bible.
Yeah.
Where do you find that? No, in the Bible. No. You need now using their own philosophy to prove them wrong. There are times when you need really to go into scientific evidence. They don't want, they say, put your Bible aside. That's why sometimes we need to train ourselves. You know, we are given different, we have different level of talents. And not everyone is expected to be the same, you know. But as much as you can, try to equip yourself. I'm not talking only about those people out there. Your own children, one day, they will come with questions. They'll meet those people that are out there. They'll tell them, you know, we don't believe in your whatever it is. But just be ready to give an answer to your child. He said, "Mommy, I was told here that Jesus didn't, exist." When you tell, "No, listen, in Matthew, he said he was born." This guy told me that he doesn't believe Matthew. He said Matthew, it was just a guy there. He had a dream and that he really, it's not true. There's no historical evidence. You should be able to prove them the historical Jesus.
Yes.
Amen. From science. Because the biblical Jesus, we believe him.
Amen.
By faith, we don't need evidence. But at some stage, you need to give your child the historical Jesus, proven by history, proven by science, that Jesus did really exist. Because science will tell you, no, we don't have any evidence. But there is evidence in science. Amen. The simplest thing to tell them, when were you born? I was born the 18th of October, 1971. Okay, that proves that Jesus existed. Because after that 1971, it means BC. Amen. It's something that you refer yourself to the birth of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Accepting it or not, but your date of birth proved that Jesus existed. Amen. So, they brought him. And they took him, verse 19, and brought him unto the Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is. For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know therefore what these things mean. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else, but either to tell or to hear something, some new thing." That was their job. Just some new thing. And if you bring your new thing, you should be able to defend it. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "You men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious." But this is... Other traductions, he says, you are extremely religious. Because if you take it the way it is translated here, it's as if he was mocking them. But actually, he started praising them, actually. He wanted to gain their confidence. The best way to approach someone is to make him feel comfortable. He started out by praising them. That I find you extremely religious. I find you extremely believing in what you believe. And I commend you for that. You know, it didn't come, "You guys, you are idolaters. You know, I saw you doing this." No. He came, he just wanted that first to get their attention. "I find you extremely religious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions," you see, he's praising them, lifting them, I found an altar with this inscription, "To the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you." So he started from what they believed, and he found the gap there, and said, "This is what I'm bringing you. You are worshiping an unknown God. That's that unknown God that I'm bringing you." So it was something from their own foundation and building out from there. He started now preaching them the gospel.
Amen.
Amen. He didn't go and draw from the Bible. Because it was not easy for them to believe the Bible. They were not believers. People who are not believers, we need to find a correct approach. Sometimes go and take that encyclopedia and read it.
That's right.
It's not given to everyone. But nowadays, there's many, resources out there. YouTube. If you are not good at reading, go and find some good videos there. They explain things and in 15 minutes, 20 minutes, equip yourself. I'm telling you, your children, one day they'll challenge you. One day they will challenge you. They'll come with questions. You should be able, because you are the source of authority for them. If you can't give them answers, they'll go out there find answers to some from someone else. And that someone else may, you know, misguide them. Amen.
Amen.
So Paul was able to start now from what they believed, showing them that there's God in what you believe. In science, there is God. In maths, there is God. In philosophy, in biology, in astronomy. From that, start to show them the existence of God. The evidence of God in astronomy or what science discipline it is. And he was able to show them, even to quote from their philosophers. You know, one of your philosophers, one of your poets said this and this and that. That exactly goes together with what the Bible teaches. So he was able to take the evidence from science and bring it, back it up by the Bible. That's the way he introduced the Bible to them. Those who were predestined to believe, they believed. Amen. Of course, we won't make everyone to believe. Since they were ready, their job, their mindset was to discuss. They tried to find somewhere where to start discussion, because that's what their aim. They couldn't finish the day just to say, Paul, we accept what you say. No, that was not their job. Their job was to discuss. Jesus resurrected from the dead. Oh, you are talking about someone raising from the dead. And they found an escape, an excuse not to accept the gospel. But if there are seeds of God somewhere, whatever you say, the way you put it, the way you bring it up to them, God will make a way for them. And you may have saved your child just by giving them simple things, simple, you know, principles that will help them defend their faith, stand for the gospel. Amen. God bless you. That's it for today. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we once again want to commit the remainder of the service into your hands, believing, O Lord, that what have been said so far, you'll help us to have a spiritual discernment of what has been said, O Lord. Sometimes we didn't say it the way you wanted it said, O Lord, but we know that it was the Holy Spirit listening to your children, and that same Holy Spirit will make them to realize exactly what you wanted your church to hear this morning. Bless us as we commit the service into your hand. Bless the song worship. Bless the tithes and offerings. Bless the preaching of the word. And bless the visitors in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.